This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. On the surface, the news about Wisconsin and cardiac arrest seems good. If you go into cardiac arrest in the Milwaukee area, your chances for survival are greater than they are in most other parts of the country. But that only tells part of the story. The outlook for people suffering from cardiac arrest is not good, no matter where you live.
At the same time, though, researchers here are trying to take the successes that they see in Milwaukee and use them to improve the odds here and all over the country. The Medical College of Wisconsin is one of 11 sites nationwide picked by the National Institutes of Health to evaluate the effectiveness of new ways to treat cardiac arrest.
Dr. Tom Aufderheide is a professor of emergency medicine at the Medical College, and he joins us now in the studio. Welcome to Lake Effect.
Thank you for having me.
What have we been doing right so far that survival rates for cardiac arrest patients in the Milwaukee area are higher than they are in other parts of the country?
Milwaukee County Emergency Medical Services, in conjunction with the Medical College of Wisconsin, have been dedicated to improving survival from cardiac arrest for the past 30 years through research. By investigating the best care, the best treatments, and the highest quality of care delivered, the survival rates from cardiac arrest are one of the highest in the nation in our community.
Something like 12.8% versus right around 8% elsewhere, right?
Nationally, the average is 7.9% survival from cardiac arrest. In the United States and in Milwaukee, we enjoy a rate of around 12 to 13% survival.
Well, and so what are the keys that we already know in successfully treating cardiac arrest? What are the kinds of protocols that Milwaukee County Emergency Services use that makes a difference?
By investigating new treatments, the citizens of Milwaukee County have enjoyed new and innovative and more effective treatments for cardiac arrest over the years. For example, one of them is public access defibrillation. Those shock boxes you see in the airport that are on airplanes and so forth that have doubled survival rate from cardiac arrest were started here in Milwaukee. That is formed the basis for national healthcare policy in this country, and we enjoy that improvement in care. We discovered, for example, that hyperventilation during cardiac arrest, an incomplete chest recoil and quality of CPR are extremely important in improving survival. Those changes have been incorporated into the American Heart Association guidelines, and when done on a routine basis, have significantly increased survival rates. We investigated a new biomedical device called the impedance threshold device. That doubled the blood pressure during CPR and blood flow during CPR, significantly improving not only survival but neurological outcome. Those innovations and improvements in care have been the result of the focus on cardiac arrest in this community and investigation and research.
Still, a survival rate of between 12 and 13% is a fairly low overall survival rate. So why don't more people survive cardiac arrest?
Well, cardiac arrest is just to take one step back, there are lots of misconceptions about cardiac arrest. First is that a heart attack is completely different from a cardiac arrest. A heart attack is when a blood clot occludes blood flow in an artery of the heart and a part of the muscle of the heart dies. The heart, however, continues to beat, and the survival rate from a heart attack is really quite good. It's about 96%. In contradistinction, a cardiac arrest is when the heart suddenly and unexpectedly goes into a rhythm that does not pump blood. The patient immediately becomes unconscious, blood flow ceases in the body, and the survival rates are in fact dismal. Again, about 9 out of 10 or about 92% of patients die. There are a lot of things that need to occur in a cardiac arrest for a good outcome. The patient needs to have treatment started immediately if there's any hope for survival. CPR quality needs to be high. Defibrillation needs to occur early. And a sequence of events needs to occur in order for optimal outcome for patients.
So this, of course, has you looking at what can be done to improve even beyond the success that this area has had. What are you evaluating now? I gather there are two particular directions this research is going in.
We're doing two studies now funded by the National Institutes of Health in a national consortium called the Resuscitation Outcomes Consortium, where 11 centers in North America, Canada, and the United States, of which Milwaukee is one, are investigating. The first is a trial called the ALPS trial. That trial is a study looking at heart rhythm medications for patients with a certain kind of cardiac arrest, evaluating whether amiodarone, lidocaine, neither are the best outcome for patients with this particular type of heart rhythm. The second is a study called the Continuous Chest Compression Study. There are really two forms of CPR that are being done in this country currently. One is 30 compressions that are then stopped and two breaths are given, then 30 compressions again and two breaths, versus continuous chest compressions with intermittent breathing without stopping those chest compressions. It's unknown which produces the best outcome, and we are investigating those two approaches.
Studying this group has to be tricky. Cardiac arrest patients are not really a population in which you want to set up a control group. So how do you get past some of the ethical issues? And also, you know, of course, cardiac arrest patients are unconscious. So what about the idea of informed consent?
Thank you for asking that question. That's extremely important for the community to understand. It is always impossible to get informed consent from patients in cardiac arrest. The United States Food and Drug Administration has authorized a process under these circumstances called exception from informed consent under emergency circumstances. Such studies cannot occur unless a number of criteria are met. First, that the current treatment is considered to be unsatisfactory. And for cardiac arrest with a 92% death rate, most reasonable people would agree that our treatments are unsatisfactory. That treatment must begin immediately if there's any hope for survival. And that is true in cardiac arrest. And then finally, that the science demonstrates the potential for direct benefit to people above and beyond our current unsatisfactory treatment. That's reviewed by the Food and Drug Administration, and if those criteria are met, then the studies are allowed to occur. These studies meet those criteria by FDA requirements.
And presumably there's not a lot of time for decision making about whether a particular patient is going to be involved in this study. The emergency responders have to know going in that this is part of the plan, right?
Literally, in cardiac arrest, seconds count. If there's any hope for survival, treatment must begin immediately.
But what if someone who's listening to this interview says, well, hey, I just don't want to be a part of this clinical trial. Can you opt out ahead of time?
Absolutely. There is an opt-out process, and it's important to get that message out to the community. So thank you for asking that question. There is an opt-out process. We have a phone number, we have an email, and we have a website that people can go to if they choose not to participate in these trials. Then we will provide them with a opt-out bracelet or a necklace. It is like a medic alert bracelet and necklace. The EMS providers look for that prior to entering any patient in a study and will not enter them if they so choose.
And does a cardiac arrest patient or the patient's family, if that person should unfortunately die, do they find out that they were a part of this trial?
All patients who are entered are notified that they were entered in the study, either the patient or the patient's families.
Well, and so how long are these studies likely to go on?
These studies have been ongoing now for about a year and a half. They will probably continue for about one more year.
Well, at the end of the day, what is your best hope for survival rates? If 9 out of 10 people today, you know, somewhat fewer in the Milwaukee area, but nationally about 9 out of 10 people die of cardiac arrest, what's your best hope for survival rates beyond here?
Sure. One of the misconceptions about cardiac arrest is that it is uncommon. In fact, there are about 500,000 cardiac arrests that occur each year in the United States alone. With a 92% death rate, that means that cardiac arrest is the third highest cause of death in this country. 1% improvement in survival is a roughly 10,000 people in this country who are declared dead today that would otherwise go home to their wives, their husbands, their jobs, and their families. So we're looking for any increase, even as small as 1%, to make a huge difference in the lives of the public.
You mentioned early in the interview the proliferation of AEDs, the automated external defibrillators, and you say they've doubled survival rates. I assume that's doubled survival rates among the people who have been treated by AEDs, correct?
That is correct. So AEDs are effective for a certain kind of heart rhythm called ventricular fibrillation or ventricular tachycardia. Unfortunately, that occurs in about 23% of all cardiac arrests. But if they are applied early, following collapse, they do double survival rate, and not only double survival rate, but double survival rate with good neurological outcome, which of course is the ultimate goal.
Would additional numbers of AEDs out there make a significant difference, do you think?
Absolutely. And so we are always looking for a wider distribution of AEDs in public places, training more people, also training more people in CPR, and getting this message out to the public to first call 911, then push hard and fast in the middle of the chest and use an AED when available.
Well, Dr. Tom Alfterheide, saving lives is really, it's hard to think of more important work. Thank you so much for sharing it with us.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Tom Alfterheide is professor of emergency medicine at the Medical College of Wisconsin. The Medical College is one of 11 sites nationwide designated by the National Institutes of Health to study new ways of treating cardiac arrest.
Coming up after a break, Lake Effect SES Alita Chosik thinks back on the violence that claimed her father's life and what good she hopes can come out of it today. Lake Effect continues with that in just a moment on Milwaukee Public Radio.